Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
I have a story today, and I'm going to call the woman Dea. And for anybody listening for the very first time, we always say this is not a client's real name. And anybody we talk about, we rename to give confidentiality to all of our clients. So Dea asks me at the very beginning of the session if I can tell her anything about a man named Leonard. And she goes, I don't know how this works. I don't know how you get things. She says, I'm just curious because I was told that if I just say someone's name, that you can give me information about them and whatever else. And I'll just let it go with that. She says, but honestly, Karen, like I have a ton of questions in my head. I was just told not to ask them and to sit and to listen to you first and then to ask questions. She goes, is that correct? And I said, you certainly can do it that way. So let's begin. So I asked the spirit guides what they wanted to offer to Dea about Leonard. And the spirit guide said, well, he's alive and he's her brother. They don't really have a relationship and they never really have. And I thought, okay, what is that situation? And they said, well, they both grew up in a big family with lots of brothers and sisters and a mom and a dad. And there's quite an age difference. So by the time he left home, she was still very young. And he leaves home and moves away permanently and returns home just on rare occasions. So there isn't really a bond between the two of them to begin with, because it's not there in a childhood. It's not there during teenage years. It's not like she goes and visits him and he goes and comes home regularly for Christmas and all of the holidays and all of that kind of stuff. It's not there. And I said, okay. And they said, we want to tell you more about him, just to give you facts. He drinks. He's had alcohol issues his whole life, right from the time he was very young, actually. He's done drugs in his life, still does them. He is not in good health currently, and she can confirm that for you. And I smell cigarette smoke. And I said, oh, I smell cigarette smoke. And they said, yes, that's correct. He's also a cigarette smoker. And I said, what kind of alcohol? And I can smell, I think it's like rye or a rum, not beer, not wine. So they said, just say hard liquor. She'll be content with that. She'll understand that. I said, okay, do I just go with that? And they said, to start, give her all of that to build her confidence that the spirit guide, we're here, we're giving the information, we can answer questions. We're going to open up more, but we just want to start with this. So I told Dea all of that, and she said, yes. She said, this is really good. And she says, and what you've explained about our relationship is really accurate. And I said, are you going to ask questions? No. She says, the guides are doing such a good job of just helping me establish trust and just listening to all of this. I really like it. She says, it's really helpful and I'm very much enjoying it and I trust it. She says, could you just continue? So I said, sure. So I went back to the guides and I said, what do you want me to do? And they said, well, Leonard's here. So Leonard steps up and says to me, I'm going to give you a few more validations. I'm near retirement. And he says, she's going to know that because of my age. He says, you can also say that I've had a child and that I have grandchildren and that I have great-grandchildren. You can tell her all of those things. So those are just going to give her good validations that it's me, because I'm saying I'm here now. And it's not just the spirit guides that are giving messages. I want her to know my spirit is here. And I repeated that to Dea, and she said, yep, that's all correct. And he said, when I reached out to my mom, when I called home, when I checked in on the occasions that I chose to do that, he said, it was typically on my own terms. He said, and underneath all of that, he said, was a desire to stay connected because my mom had money. My parents had money.
Okay, can we back up for a second? Mm-hmm. He's bringing up staying connected to mom calling home when Daya would have been in the home as a kid and he's already left. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about two adults talking to each other.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Okay.
And he said, I didn't make any effort in my life to create a connection to Daya. And he said, and when I did call and then when I did speak to her on occasion, there were problems there because I was often intoxicated. And he said, and she knew that. So it was very hard, very difficult to make a true connection to me. He said, because I didn't give anybody the opportunity to really connect to me. I put alcohol between the two of us in order to call home and speak to them. Mm-hmm. And he says, but I would never admit that on earth if I were to call her up now. He says, I wouldn't say any of that. But this is my soul speaking to her, and I want her to know the truth. I want her to know these things. So I told Daya that, and again, she confirms that. She says that's very true about him calling, and whoever answers the phone can tell by the way he's speaking that he's had something to drink. And so, and typically, you're right, Karen, he wants to speak to mom for sure. Sometimes he speaks to all his siblings. Sometimes he doesn't. It doesn't really matter so much. He's just trying to keep that connection because he wants money. And so Daya says to me, what does he want the money for? Like, what's that all about? And he replied, Leonard came in and said, well, while I've worked all my life and I've been a functioning alcoholic, a functioning addict, my job hasn't really given me a ton of money. So I do need the help. I do want the help. So he stays connected for this purpose. And I said, Leonard, what else did you want to say to Daya? Is there anything else she's looking for? And he said, oh, yeah. He says, I'm going to get to the bottom of more of it. And he says, but she needs to understand that I didn't make a connection. I didn't allow a connection. I actually put up walls to a connection. And she's sitting there thinking, why didn't he try? Or why did all of this happen? And he says she's like this because she was the one that was raised to fix things. She was raised to please her parents and like my mom and dad and brothers and sisters. And she thinks that if the people in the family don't like her, that there's something deficient about her. Instead of understanding that it's not about her deficiency, it's the dynamics of the whole family. It's the dynamics of how everybody was raised within the family. Then Leonard says to me, my mom manipulated the dynamics of the family, of the brothers and sisters. And he says, so all of us in the family understand that she's always reaching out. She's always trying to create the connection. And some people are appreciative of that, others aren't. And if they don't get what they want from her and they walk away, they feel like it's not a big loss. But he says, deep down, Karen, he says, our mom triangled so many of us that there's dysfunctions amongst all of the kids in the family. And he says, and she's always internalizing it that there's something wrong with her instead of understanding that there's something wrong basically with all of us.
It's a systemic issue.
Yes. And he said she needs to hear that because she makes everything personal. And what I'm trying to say to her today is it's not personal. And that she needs to understand because she keeps searching for this, what is wrong with me, that we aren't a family. He says she keeps buying into the belief that it's family, so you keep trying. It's family, so you forgive. It's family, so you just you keep going back to it. And he says, I don't see it that way. And he says, and many of the brothers and sisters are not close and don't see family in the same way. They see it as purposeful. What can I get out of this relationship? How does this serve me?
That's so interesting because like you can define purpose in so many ways. And I would never define an interpersonal relationship's purpose as transactional.
Right. Yeah.
I would never, like, I could never look you in the eye and say, this is a purposeful relationship when what I really mean is I get a lot from you and that serves me well.
Yeah.
Like purpose is supposed to be, as far as I understand it, on a level that is mutually beneficial, but it's not tit for tat.
Right.
It's supposed to bring out the best of each other by being together.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the opposite of transaction.
Yeah. And so I told her this. I said, this is what he's trying to explain. He's trying to say like the dynamics of your entire family, the triangling, what your mom has done and how it has affected all of these children. And then how all of her children triangle each other. And that it's very transactional between even each of the siblings. So Leonard says to her, so that's your answer. So what are you going to do with it?
That's your answer to the question you didn't ask?
Yes. So then I said to Daya, is this helpful? And she goes, it is. She goes, it helps me reaffirm what I have come to understand in my family, but it's taken me a hell of a long time and a lot of pain and a lot of suffering to figure that out, because I was the one that was trained and was told family first, you care for each other. She was given all of these rules that tied her into that family and given to her, and now to her understanding that she's given these core beliefs because it's going to suit everybody else's purpose to be able to believe that. So if she keeps believing in love and forgiveness, it's family, then she's constantly got to work at forgiving and getting right back in there again. Well, her siblings have no intention of working at it in that kind of way to say, oh, I'm going to work at forgiving other people. No, no, no. I'm just working these relationships for what I can get out of them. Mm. So they're working on very different things. And Leonard is putting that right out on the table for her. Mm-hmm. And then saying to her, I don't care about you.
But it's not personal.
Yes, exactly. Imagine that. I don't care about you, but it's not personal. When you've been taught that it's supposed to be deeply personal because it's family.
Well, yeah. And I mean, the other siblings were not taught that. They were taught relationships are to be useful, not the authentic version of purposeful. Right? So yeah. It does make complete sense that any of those siblings could turn to any of the other ones, not just Daya, and say, like, it's not personal how I'm treating you. I'm getting what I want or what I think I need at the expense of you. But oh well, aren't we all?
Yes. And some of them thinking, well, aren't you doing the very same thing to us? And Daya is sitting there going, no, that isn't how I've seen these relationships. So anyway, then I just said to her, because now we're getting near the end of her session, I said, do you have any questions? And she said, well, she said, I really don't. She said, I was told to sit and listen. I was told to voice record this. She said, I have. And she says, I am not disappointed. She said, in that I came here and I sat and I listened to this. She said, you have validated some things for me. And she says, but you've also told me about my own sense of feeling deficient because of being raised in this kind of a family.
And your Enneagram 4 heart could do well with some good research and proper therapy.
Yes. So she said, I have a place to begin. She says, I have been working on my people pleasing. I have been working on breaking these relationships with family members and walking away and starting to clean a lot of this up. And she says, but because I don't speak to Leonard, because there has been a falling out between us. And she says, now I understand the falling out. I no longer served a purpose to him. So there was a falling out because he no longer needed me. She says, so I don't need to know any more than that. She says, those aren't the relationships that I want to be in. That is not what I call family. I have friends. I have all kinds of people that don't treat me that way anymore. And she said, so I'm good. She says, I just wanted to put closure to all of this so that I can just continue to move on in the direction that I'm going in my life.
It's really interesting to me that we're still walking around calling it closure when what it really is clarity.
Right.
And I know, you know, I purposefully, for anyone listening, I always say at the end of the podcast, especially since we've rebranded, clarity, relief, and direction, right? Yeah. That's what the guides and ourselves as mediums are trying to offer. And, you know, we're not all entitled to closure from another person. But what we are still seeking is clarity to be able to understand what something was in order to move forward. That's what closure is, right? Mm-hmm. And as the person in Leonard's position, like he doesn't owe someone that closure. He has the right to walk away from something he doesn't want in his life. Unfortunately, it wasn't really coming from a very altruistic place. However, he still has the individual right to not give someone an explanation for his decisions. Mm-hmm. And so here is Dea looking for clarity to understand not just the other person, but also her role and her belief system that played a part in manifesting all of those feelings. Mm-hmm. Notice how I use the word manifesting, not as something that we want. Something manifests because we have a belief system, mm-hmm. a solid belief system, healthy or unhealthy, right? Mm-hmm. That brings to fruition these experiences that we keep playing out as patterns. Mm-hmm. And now with clarity, she can sit there and go, might want to unsubscribe to that belief system so I don't keep manifesting the same fucking relationship problems or, you know, mucky situations going forward.
Yeah. Now, Kelly, you brought up earlier Enneagram 4, mm-hmm. and that came up in the session as a resource for her to be able to understand the deficiency that the 4 number on the Enneagram believes in. Mm-hmm. And we chatted a little bit about that in terms of her mom and her dad and how her mom triangled many of the people or created different dynamics in the family is what I should say, because it's not just always triangling, creating all of these different dynamics in the family where there isn't a cohesiveness and a caring for each other. There's more of a competition amongst each other and a using of each other so that she could understand herself. And I just wanted to say that for anybody else, because you said it very quickly, in case somebody's listening to this going, those are similar dynamics. What did Kelly mention again?
Yeah, so it's a personality typing system that essentially gets to the why of why we do what we do. So other personality typing systems essentially tell you, hey, this is how you behave by default. This is what you tend to do. And that's helpful in the sense that if you're really unaware, there are your behaviors spelled out for you. But the Enneagram goes underneath it and says, these aren't just your behaviors. This is what actually motivated you to do what you do. Because we could all, you and I and Carmen, our girlfriend, could go rob a bank. And we're all there for different reasons. Mm-hmm. We're all committing a crime for completely different motives. Our behavior looks the exact same. We could be treated the same through the judicial system, but we're all there to serve a different purpose, which is our core fear or underlying unconscious motivator, right? Mm-hmm. And so what it does is it says, here's this wound that you received in childhood that you've been buying into or believing your entire life. And here is the way out of these unhealthy belief systems and behaviors so that you don't keep falling into these patterns. For example, this Enneagram 4 who believes they are missing something fundamental in their being. Dea can now move forward with her own work to see there's nothing fundamentally missing within me. That's a false idea that I have had, and shift her worldview at that point.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And there's 8 other little worldviews that are walking around there within each of you as listeners. And it serves a huge purpose to know what those are so that you're not in these unhealthy patterns.
Mm-hmm. For the rest of your life. You're talking about, just reiterating what you were saying, you're talking about becoming aware of it so that you don't keep perpetuating that pattern.
Yeah. And I mean, how many podcasts have we done on past life regression where we might say you've picked the same career in 4 different lifetimes and you're still playing out the pattern of advocating for the weak, or you're still playing out the pattern of trying to be a perfectionist or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That shit follows us.
It does. It does. So anyway, I want to thank you for helping people understand the purpose of the Enneagram and what it can do for them. Thank you, Kelly, for explaining that. I want to lead into the fact that you are studying the Enneagram and that you are actually getting certified in it to help people.
Yeah, that's my jam. So as a life coach, I've worked and am going to continue working with the Enneagram to help people understand themselves on a deeper level. And it's something that can play out in the workspace as well. So to do corporate coaching and all kinds of things, any chance I get to bring it up, I will.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, help spread the love with a like, share, or review of the podcast. See you next Saturday with a brand new episode.